And let's bring up Jason Bone to do a session on strategy.
Good morning. Well, wanted to talk a little bit about strategy, and at the surface, that may sound like a really boring topic, right? You know, not a whole lot of fun. Good that guy got up there and went before lunch, right? But strategy is in everything we do. One of my favorite games, and it was funny because Brother Garrison mentioned it this morning, is Monopoly. That is absolutely my most favorite game to play. And a lot of people think, oh, that game's just luck. No, there's a whole lot of strategy that goes into it if you really know what you're doing. So we're going to talk a little bit about strategy this morning and what that means. Commander Jim talked a little bit earlier about how a disciplined leader and disciplined thought with disciplined action equals momentum for us. Now, that's going to start with what we talked a little bit about yesterday, alignment with local, district, and national leadership. And one of the things we can realize is that with 2.0, not only are our outposts flexible, our districts are as well. We have a lot of opportunity to meet the needs of our local areas. And so it gives us opportunities for options. Now, Commander Marsh also talked about yesterday, and I'm going to kind of wrap up all these pieces and try to tie them off together here for you. He talked about how within the framework of our organization and our policies and procedures a couple of the things that we have that are guidelines for us, we can still operate in that and have the sky be the limit. There's absolutely no stopping where we can go if we're following the guidelines that have been set for us and the God-breathed vision that we have. Do you guys believe that? Amen. All right. So one of the things that we were having a district staff meeting about six to seven weeks ago, and we had our district leadership team there, and every member of our district staff was invited. And one of our former district commanders, who still serves as a mentor to our staff, was there. And at the end of our meeting, he said, you know, we were all ready to go home. Everybody's eyes were glazed over. We talked for two full days, and we were all ready to go, you know, back home and sleep. He said, before you guys go, I want to tell you something. How many of you have heard of the Chinese bamboo tree? Anybody ever heard of a Chinese bamboo tree? Okay, I know my guys have. A Chinese bamboo tree is a plant that it's going to start out just like any other plant. It's going to be a seedling. And it's going to sprout, and you're going to watch it grow. You're going to water it. You're going to care for it. Make sure it has enough sunlight, enough air. Nothing's going to happen. It's going to be there for 5 years. Nothing's going to happen. You're going to pray. You're going to hope it's going to grow. You're going to think you've done something wrong. You may have dug it up already. You may have gotten rid of it and thrown it out. But after 5 years, in 6 weeks, it will grow 80 feet tall. Your growth is not necessarily determined, and it can't be strategized. You can plan for it, but you can't necessarily predict how fast your results are going to grow. So I just wanted to encourage you. Just because you have a strategy doesn't mean you're going to see immediate growth. Look for the vision that God's given you and follow after that. Now, what's healthy, and we're going to go to the first slide, what's healthy is naturally going to grow. If you're doing things right, it's the time of the year where everything starts turning green, pollen's flying around the air, at least in South Texas where I'm from. My car's green every morning when I walk outside. Things are growing. It's naturally growth season. So if something's healthy, it's going to grow naturally. You're not going to have to do much stimulation. Healthy districts are going to see new churches restart or begin Royal Rangers for the first time. There is nothing more exciting in serving as a district director than when a church emails or calls us and asks us about starting Royal Rangers. When somebody walks up to you at a district council or an all-church ministries conference and they say, you know what, we've really been watching you guys and we're hungry for something for our boys in our church. We get the opportunity. We have a solution for that. Boys and men will be developed as leaders through training and other means, discipleship camps, leadership merits. You'll see building and strengthening of your relationships with your ministry partners, your district youth director, your children's ministry director, your district superintendent, your presbytery. You will also become financially sustainable. That excites me. My background's in banking, so that's something that's really important to me. Going on to the next slide, we're going to talk a little bit about our environment. Now, Commander Jim talked a little bit about discipline and what it means to be a disciplined leader. One of the things that it takes is thoughtful prayer. Obviously, we know that, but there's something else. And we talked a little bit about bureaucracy a second ago. Organizations and leadership over time, we have a tendency to get in a rut. Could everybody agree with that? We just do the same thing. It's worked before. You know what? It's going to work for the next 10 to 15 years. I may tweak it, but we're going to start becoming program-minded instead of people-minded and ministry-minded. And one of the things we really have to do is go through this evaluation and the strategic process to make sure that we're staying fresh with our vision and we have a plan in place that's going to work for us. Vision starts and sustains the health of our ministry. It's born from our vertical relationship with God and a horizontal relationship with those around us, the friendships that we make within our ministry. Now, one of the things that I was laughing about this week, before I got asked to do this, one of the reasons I love to come to lead is because I just get to set and listen and learn and go and be a part of it. I don't necessarily have to be responsible for anything. I don't have to put anything together and make, you know, the logistics aren't there. I just get to go and have fun, make sure my guys show up and they're there on time. That's it. Every single ministry activity that we do is going to drain us. It's going to take something from you. Every Wednesday night outpost meeting that you have, every staff meeting that you've got, every conference call that you do with your team, that's going to drain your effectiveness. That's going to drain your energy and your strength. The only way we can do that is through and refill that energy is through the power and the restoring of our relationship with God and our walk with the Holy Spirit. And guys, I just encourage you to that. That's the next slide that we have. The next thing I wanted to talk about, this is something that's a little bit near and dear to my heart. Turning over rocks, asking the right questions. I'm a pretty stubborn and sarcastic person when you get to know me. And one of the things that was funny was when I was growing up, my mom knew this, and I got a lot of it from her, right? So she would ask me questions, knowing my answer wasn't going to be all that she wanted me to tell her. And then she'd ask follow-up questions. And as I got older, she got better at doing that and better at asking me the right questions to give her the right answers. We need to train ourselves to ask the right questions. You may be asking, you know, how many boys do I have at Powwow? How many boys have stood up during the Frontier Adventure and gotten an egg thrown on their face? But if you don't have any idea, if you're not asking the right questions, why are boys not showing up? What are the obstacles? One of the things as leaders we need to do are identify the obstacles in our way and remove those so that our ministry can remain healthy and grow. So Jim Collins talks about in his book, From Good to Great, about turning over rocks, and that's one of the things that we want to do. The next piece, strategic directions. We talked just a minute ago, excuse me, about what we're passionate about. What are we the best in the world at? We've already answered those three things. And what finally makes your district unique? Only you can answer that. Only you have an idea of what makes your district unique. But if you don't even ask the right questions, you're not necessarily going to have the whole idea. You're constantly going to be finding out new information to answer that. Go ahead, and if you take a look at that slide, one of the things I love to do is drive. It's very therapeutic for me. I'm a pretty high-strung guy sometimes, and nothing, there are just days I just want to get in my car and go for a drive. And a road like that's pretty inviting. But if I don't know where I'm going, if I can't see what's ahead, I'm in trouble. So we need to make sure that our vision, we understand, and our strategic process that we have in place is going to point us in the right direction. Go ahead and go on to the next slide. We talked a little bit earlier about how rules and policies are to protect organizations from the incompetent, and we end up with organizational structures that look a little bit like that up on the screen. That makes my head wanna pop, for lack of a better way of putting it. But there's a couple, you know, when we do an assessment, we try to figure out, you know, where are we? Where do we stand right now? How do other people view us? We wanna ask some questions, and at the back of section 3, you're gonna find a colorful strategic chart. It's 8.5 by 14 pullout that you're going to want to take a look at. And there's some sample questions that you can ask that are on there. Where do we stand? Don't be afraid to start the process with assessment. Don't be afraid to stand on the scale and find out where you're at. Don't let that fear. For you to truly be able to grow and remain effective, you've got to figure out where you stand at the moment. So designing our organization, how do you want to put your team together? Maybe you've got a team put together and it's been the same way for 50 years. Whenever your first district team came together, they identified these strategic positions and those are the ones that you still have. Is that what's currently working for you right now? Or is there something that's maybe not even listed in our operational guidelines? We have some identified for us. There's 5 positions that the national team has identified for us. But you may have some other needs in your district that aren't currently fulfilled by those. So you got to ask yourself, are there any functions that I'm missing? So your first organizational design component could be a functional design where you have communications, FCF, outreach, those important things. And then division. We talked about our 3 tasks as districts: to grow, develop, and relate. Aligning your district staff around those 3 areas and putting a team together in place for each one of those. That's another option for you. In my district, we're a very large geographical district, nowhere near the size of Alaska or some of our Latin districts, but for United States district, we have a pretty wide span. We go all the way from Beaumont, Texas, well into Kerrville and all the way to the valley in the Mexico border. So we have a pretty large and diverse geographic area. One of the options for you is if you have several areas, we have a strong area, a couple of strong cities in your district, but they're a few hours away from each other. Maybe you look at doing a geographic organizational design. And then at very end, you can mix a couple of these and keep them, cross components. Maybe you've got functional teams designed that in a geographic setting, and that'll be your multi-focused. But whatever you do, understand that your goal is flexibility. We're a learning organization. We don't want to develop a militaristic type organizational design. That's not what we're here for, guys. We're looking for effectiveness. We'll go to the fifth and final slide that we have. Now, as it relates, after we've put our team together and we've functioned, you're going to want to give it some time to see what's happening. How is my strategic plan that I've put in place? How's that actually being carried out? Become a skilled evaluator. We talked a little bit about asking the right questions. Asking the right questions before is different than asking the right questions at the end and on the tail end to find out where you're at. Doug said yesterday, and it's something that I wholeheartedly agree with, just because we have a QLC process in place in our ministry does not give us the right to criticize. Evaluation is done after something's happened, not during. So we want to measure our effectiveness. We want to measure our efficiency and our relationship. Effectiveness, are my events shrinking every year? I'm a numbers guy, so I like to ask each and every year, how many do we have at Pow Wow? How many Ranger kids got the opportunity to go to one of our 3-day camps that we did? How many do we have at our Trace? How many new frontiersmen do we have in our FCF chapter? Those are questions that you're going to want to answer. Efficiency, what are we getting out of what we've put into it? Have I planned an event for 6 months that 10 people showed up at? Is that really a good opportunity for that? That's a good opportunity for me to sit back and say, you know what, I probably didn't have a high return on investment there. And the last one, we talked a little bit about it yesterday, relationship. Do you have communication breakdowns in your district? Is there not an atmosphere charged with friendship? And, you know, a lot of times, I'm going to go ahead and go there. I'm an Aggie. Many of you know that. I'm a fighting Texas Aggie, okay? And thank you. Appreciate that. And one of the things that's been interesting, I've missed 2 home A&M football games in the last 12 years. And one of the things you can definitely tell, when I was in school, we were a 500 football team, more or less. I looked back and we were 22 and 22 of the years I was there. Well, as you know, many of you know, last year, the tides kind of changed. Sorry for the shout out to the Alabama guys, but the tide changed. And one of the things that was different, we won the battle, you guys won the war, okay? So. But one of the things that was different is that stadium, when you showed up and you were there an hour before game day, the stands were packed. There was nobody holding tickets up asking if you I've got some extras. No, there were scalpers, but the average fan didn't have an extra ticket. Everybody was anticipating being there. It was just an awesome experience, and it was something that I'm looking forward to happening again in September. But your relationships, they're going to charge, and they're going to change the way your atmosphere and your ministry is. Now, we pointed out yesterday that if things aren't going well, you're not seeing growth in your ministry, you're not seeing sustainability, your strategic plan's not there, but you still have great friendships, and that's more what you look forward to than actually doing the ministry. You don't have a ministry. You have a social club. You have a clique, and we want to stay away from that. With the information and the data that you get, you're going to want to take a look at that and say, what changes can we make? And there's a lot in your book that I'd encourage you to take a look at. It's very good reading. We won't insult your intelligence and read it all to you today. But ask yourself some questions. What do I need to change now that I have had time to go back and evaluate myself and evaluate our district and where we're at? What do we need to change to get where we want to be? Now, the final two things I want to leave you with, it takes both spiritual and organizational discipline to bring about health in your ministry. And guys, I believe that with God's help, what's written up here behind me, that we'll be able to do that and do it to our best ability. Thank you. Appreciate it.